Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And today is June 2nd, 2016. The topic of our podcast is facing loneliness and emptiness. You leave someone alone long enough and one of two things will happen. They will either drive themselves crazy or have a spiritual awakening. Some passages in our lives bring us face to face with our deepest loneliness and emptiness. It's not that the emptiness is a new reality. It's always been there, probably from birth in some way when we were originally separated by our oneness experience and cast into the world as a single human being. Birth is likely our original separation trauma. We learn in life to distract ourselves from our deep feelings of separation and disconnection, which cause us to feel our loneliness. In life, we surround ourselves with people and we distract ourselves with work, family, relationships, and addictions. If something happens, like a breakup of a relationship, the ending of a toxic relationship, a death, a job loss, an illness, or any number of things, you may find yourself alone. And I mean really alone. The phone lines are quiet. There's nothing personal in your inbox. Nobody's really reaching out. Or if they do, you just don't feel the connection with them. When in the dark night of the soul, one must confront his or her deepest aching loneliness, those feelings of pure emptiness. The feeling of disconnection with all life and people, and especially from God, the universal life force. Too much of being left alone in our head can be dangerous, which is why we could potentially drive ourselves crazy. If we face our loneliness with our minds, with our head, we can drive ourselves mad. But if we face our loneliness with our hearts, we can facilitate the spiritual awakening. True spiritual awakening requires periods of deep solitude. It requires times of being really alone with ourselves, not just a few hours. There is a journey inward into the depths of ourselves required, and this could take months, even years. We most often face our deepest loneliness when all distractions have been removed. Our addictions don't work anymore. The things that once served to distract us from ourselves no longer have the power. The good news is that when this happens, you are in a process of spiritual transformation. If you can surrender to this process and find the courage to face the darkness within, the shadow, you will be elevated to a new level of awareness. You will access a higher energetic vibration. You will attract higher vibrational energies in your life, which means you will meet people who have a higher degree of kindness, compassion, and love. When we find ourselves in relationships where our needs are not met or recognized, we may find ourselves craving a deeper connection with someone, anyone. We're being brought by our own evolving soul to this doorway of transformation to where we are no longer satisfied with shallow or empty connections and crave being more fully and completely connected to life. If you're coming out of a narcissistic relationship, you likely experienced a very shallow emotional connection, which led you to accessing those deep feelings of loneliness and emptiness within yourself. This is brought on also by realizing the connection you believed you had with that person was so shallow and empty. This makes us question our own ability to connect deeply with someone. We crave intimacy and sometimes we fear it as well. When we find ourselves in deep feelings of loneliness and feel isolated in our own little worlds, it's our call to connect more deeply with our own inner being. Our own soul essence. Sometimes this connection seems far away, unobtainable. We may not even understand what it means to connect with soul. We may feel abandoned by God and alienated from life. We may be deep in our feelings of shame, which tell us we're someone unworthy of companionship and love. And these deep feelings of shame prevent us from reaching out to others, which at this time is just as well, because it's time to reach in rather than reach out. The idea of reaching in can seem foreign too. What does it mean to reach in? What are we reaching for? First and foremost, we must reach into our emotional core and feel what it is, what's coming up within the deep unconscious to be felt and thereby released. There may be a lot of overwhelming emotions, sadness, grief, loss, desperation, despair, anger, rage, anxiety, fear, abandonment, alienation, and other painful feelings. Rather than trying to find distractions from these painful feelings, we must be willing to move right into them. The emptiness we feel is the place where we've cut off from our own emotions. We learn to dissociate at a young age and dance around what we're feeling rather than embrace our feelings. Our feelings become like the enemy. We try to keep them away, stay separate from them. Yet this further alienates us from ourselves. We are giving ourselves the message, your feelings don't belong here. They're not welcome. They're wrong. They're bad. They're unacceptable. And this may be the message you received as a child, that your feelings were wrong. It was somehow not okay to feel what you felt. You were left all alone in your painful feeling states and suffered in silence. As a child, this is so desperately painful that no wonder we dissociate from our pain. But as adults, we need to reconnect with our childhood pain. Let it come up to the surface of our awareness. Feel it, express it, and release it. As we do this, we begin to connect with our deeper selves, which is contained in the inner child. Our inner child is our doorway to the authentic self. It is through this little one within we find who we really are. We live in a very codependent society. Our training and upbringing is based on dysfunctional and codependent patterns. When we're codependent, we're outer focused rather than inner focused. We rely on others to give us our sense of self-worth. If others treat us badly, our self-worth suffers. If others treat us well, our self-worth is increased. In a codependent society, we don't learn how to get our feelings of self-worth from within. And until we learn to do this, we will always be dependent on others for how we feel, and we're subject to the control and manipulation of others. We can also become controllers and manipulators and attempt to get our needs met from the outside. The only way to take back your power is to go within and begin to develop that pure and loving relationship with your inner being. One thing we must be very careful of when in deep loneliness is to avoid going into self-pity. Self-pity will more likely lead you to feeling crazy rather than facilitate your spiritual awakening. Self-pity is something we all feel at times. We don't want to judge it. We don't want to hang out there. Self-pity is the voice that says, "Why does this always happen to me? Why doesn't anybody love me? Why have I been abandoned? My life isn't worth living. Nobody cares about me. I don't matter. I'm worthless." Self-pity is the poor, poor, pitiful me song. The reason it doesn't serve us to hang out there is that it makes us feel worse about ourselves. We interpret our circumstances as evidence that we are unworthy and unlovable. And these feelings emerge from our core shame. The more attention and energy we give to the idea of ourselves as unlovable and unworthy, the more we feel that way. There's no more horrible feeling than the feeling of unworthiness. It's important to begin to recognize feelings of unworthiness as toxic shame and not as the truth of who you are. Robert Burney, the author of Dance of Wounded Souls, says that the toxic shame we feel is not our own. It is imposed upon us by our parents and society. It is passed down from generation to generation. It is impossible that you are unworthy. And it is truly sad that the toxic shame that was projected onto you made you feel unworthy. When you find yourself feeling unworthy, it's time to start uncovering all the beauty and the value that you possess inside and bring it out into the open. Our inner beauty really doesn't have anything to do with what we've accomplished in life, where we live, how much money we have, or who we are with. Our true beauty can only be found in who we, by our very nature, already are and have always been. It is a blessing that you are born, that you are here. Your life has meaning and purpose, and it is not to be found in what you do, but in who you are. Who you are matters. When we are lonely and in pain, we often feel like we don't matter. Our life doesn't matter. There's no meaning. There's a saying, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody is there to witness it, doesn't make a sound. This saying suggests that there must be a witness in order for an event to be real. But what about the unwitnessed life? When we find ourselves alone, we're living the unwitnessed life. When we have a partner or close friends whom we interact with daily, our life has a witness. Our existence is verified by others. When we have no meaningful connections in our daily life, it may feel in some way that we don't exist. Ironically, this is the dilemma of the narcissist and explains why narcissistic people are so desperately in need of supply. There is a desperate need for someone to validate their existence. And if that validation is not forthcoming, it can feel to the narcissist as if he or she doesn't exist. Many of us can empathize with that feeling because when we feel so disconnected from others, we often question our own existence. Do I matter? Am I really here? Why am I here? Where a narcissist invests all his energy in finding others to validate his existence, those of us who find ourselves alone don't have the energy reserves or the desire to go out in search of others. It is as if that empty, soulless aspect of ourself is crying out for connection with a force greater than ourselves and greater than our superficial connections. We crave nothing less than pure divine connection with our own soul, and nothing else will do. This is the gift that can come out of narcissistic relationships where your soul has gone missing. It fled to some far-off place in order to escape the desolation of an empty, meaningless connection. Your journey now, at the time of your greatest loneliness, is nothing less than an opportunity for powerful spiritual transformation that comes with letting go of who you were in order to become something much greater. When you find yourself looking back and longing for what was, be reminded that the new is always greater than the old. The you who is emerging is much greater than the you who is passing away. It is important to trust this. Trust in the higher power, the God force that is guiding you to higher levels of awareness. It is the place where we reside within ourselves, where we feel our greatest joy and our deepest sorrow. This is the most important relationship we could ever nurture because this is our relationship with the divine. And it is from this relationship where all right relationships emerge. When we are stuck in fear, desperation, and disconnection from our own soul, we attract others into our lives who are living in fear and disconnected from their soul. It's part of the law of attraction. We attract not what we are, but where we are in the moment. When we reach out to others in order to fill a deep aching longing, we attract those who also have this deep aching longing. And although in the beginning of such a relationship, it can feel as if we've come home, as our emptiness is temporarily filled, but there's a hole in our soul where that which fills us drains away just as quickly. The feeling of love and connection cannot be sustained with that person. And this is why it is not advisable to be searching for a mate when you are in your deepest loneliness, because it is the loneliness that is attracting its likeness, another lonely being. We are attracting for the wrong reasons, and we look to the other to fill us rather than to share in our joy and our passion for living. We must seek after that passion and joy within and fill ourselves up with our own spiritual connection. It is from this place that we find our own wholeness. We are no longer seeking after something out there to fill our inner emptiness. We've been filled from within and are now fulfilled. Therefore, we no longer need anyone. We simply have a desire to share our inner joy and passion for life with others. The journey of the self to the self can be a long journey, but it is well worth it. There is no saying how long it will last. How long will you be alone? How long must you endure the pain of the inner silence? The quick answer is that you will endure the pain of the inner silence until such a time it is no longer painful, but instead blissful. Once the pain is released, new life can move into those empty spaces within and fill them up. A feeling of blissful connection can take the place of what once was empty loneliness. Often, when we are in a deep space of loneliness, we may be tempted to reach out in some desperate measure to get our needs for comfort, affection, and intimacy met. But when we do this, we're likely to be pulled back into a toxic or dysfunctional dynamic. We must be willing to be able to observe ourselves and where we are, how vulnerable we are feeling, and what we're actually looking to achieve. Seeking creature comforts at a time of deep healing can bring the opposite results hoped for. If you're in the process of healing loneliness and you reach out for someone who is available in the moment, you are likely to pull in someone whom you will create a circumstance with that will propel you into deeper loneliness. Although initially it may feel good and comforting, it won't be sustained because it is your spirit's mission to connect more deeply with your inner self, and your side journey is a mere distraction. When we distract ourselves during a time where our soul is attempting to pull out all distractions, it may end up bringing greater pain into your life. If, for example, you come out of your relationship feeling beaten up, abused, unloved, rejected, abandoned, or any number of intense emotional experiences, and you look to someone else, or worse yet, that same person who triggered the current state of pain to affirm you, validate you, and give you a sense of worth, you may find yourself feeling even more worthless in the end. If your journey is to find your sense of worthiness on the inside and you're looking for it on the outside, you will be given yet another opportunity to look deeply within. It may have to get so very painful that you can't even consider being with someone. And this is where most people come to when traversing the dark night of the soul. We so often believe that when we're feeling deeply lonely and isolated, the solution is to be found in finding a companion. So we might sign up for a dating site or put our feelers out there in the world to attract someone in. But this is not the time. The time to seek a companion is not when you are feeling deeply lonely, but when you are feeling whole and satisfied with your life. When you are feeling connected and nurtured by life. When you have filled yourself with the things and the people that you love. When you have filled the emptiness of your life with yourself. This is easier said than done. It's counterintuitive to not seek out a companion when you are feeling lonely. You want to sign up for the Lonely Hearts Club. Only when you sign up for the Lonely Hearts Club, you meet a bunch of desperate lonely hearts who have not yet healed their fragmented connection with their deeper self. It may be easy to jump to the conclusion that two lonely hearts make a whole. That if you find each other, you can bridge the distance and create a feeling of coming home. And as I said, this initially might be true, but underneath our lonely heart is a feeling of disconnection with the divine, with our own inner source. And when we look to someone else to fill that for us, to be our connection, we give that person too much power to fill that aching emptiness within. Things have changed a lot in the last 50 years. The recovery movement and the spiritual movement has initiated the quest to know thyself and to know God. And more people are turning to recovery programs and spiritual programs to understand themselves. We are on a spiritual fast track, which is a necessary part of the evolution of humanity into a more conscious form. Before we were on the spiritual fast track, people would simply go find a companion when feeling lonely. It made sense to do so, and the majority of people still do this. But remember, we are evolving as a species, and things are not the same anymore. And this is why so many of us who are being called to awaken are experiencing so much pain and loneliness. We are being asked to break through our old patterns and evolve to the next level. And it's like a spiral going upward, and we climb up that energetic spiral, viewing our current state of being from a new level. And then we see it from a little higher perspective that allows us to have a little more distance on the past way of looking at things. We may find that we can have a greater degree of acceptance with a person that we were deeply hurt by and allow that person to be exactly who they are without needing them to change and be what we need them to be. In our acceptance, we may choose not to have that person in our life because it may be unhealthy for us to do so. Still, we are able to forgive them for being who they are and move beyond the need for any kind of validation or approval from that person. It is our lack of forgiveness that keeps us stuck. We hold resentments and grudges that come from our hurts. But what you will discover from your higher perspective is that those resentments and grudges keep you stuck, not the person you're angry at. Lack of forgiveness keeps those hurts alive. To say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," allows you to release those who have trespassed against you into the hands of a higher power and release yourself to live from a higher place with greater awareness, greater self-love, and a greater ability to love others. Now I want to talk about your stories. Regurgitating our stories also keeps the pain alive. It's important to identify your victim story. How were you victimized? What did that person do to you? It may have been very painful. That person's behavior may have been cruel. That person may have been completely unconscious of his or her actions and the impact it had on you. You may have felt devastated by the actions of another person. You may feel angry, hateful, resentful, and desire revenge. And this is normal and natural when one feels wronged. But as we stay in our stories, we continue to keep them alive and thereby keep our pain alive. Recognize the story. he did this to me, she did this. Instead, focus on the lesson. Turn your focus to the lesson. What did you learn about yourself through this person's actions and behavior? Are you attracting people into your life who are cold-hearted? If so, what is the benefit of that? What needs to be healed within you? Are you being cold-hearted to yourself? We most often attract toxic situations in an unconscious attempt to recreate early childhood painful circumstances so we can heal it. When you continue to attract someone who you end up feeling worthless with, you're being asked to heal your feelings of worthlessness. We often create situation after situation in which we get the opportunity to say no to people who are insensitive and cruel. We need to develop a new rule. Entrance into my inner life requires sensitivity, kindness, caring, compassion, and empathy. This needs to be our rule. One we guard and enforce with our life. You need to learn to say, you may not be part of my life if you don't possess these qualities. But you yourself must possess these qualities. You must be willing to be able to treat yourself with sensitivity, kindness, care, compassion, and empathy. Until you learn to do this, you will find yourself in front of mirrors who show you how little you care for yourself. Sometimes our journey into our deep loneliness and emptiness takes us to a place where we can truly learn to love and embrace ourselves. When we love and embrace ourselves, we don't allow others to treat us badly or with insensitivity. We choose the people we allow into our lives. We choose according to our new blueprint. Entrance into my inner life requires sensitivity, kindness, caring, compassion, and empathy. We reach ourselves through these qualities. We reach ourselves by our willingness to be sensitive to our own needs, to be kind to ourselves, to accept ourselves, even in our mistakes and in our pain. We care about ourselves. We extend compassion and empathy to ourselves. We love the child who is in pain and offer wise parental guidance. The spiritual lesson of loneliness. Our soul calls us to be alone with ourselves. When we enter our aloneness, we enter the sacredness of being. We must befriend all parts of ourselves. We must forgive. We need to forgive ourselves for not taking us to where we believe we should be. How we think and believe things should be prevents us from surrendering to what is. And this removes us from the isness. The way things are is the way things are. It is as it should be because this is what is occurring. When we can surrender to the gifts in our current circumstances, regardless of how horrific it feels, we release resistance and our life can flow like a river to where our soul is leading us. There are great gifts in your aloneness. Sit still. Breathe. Listen. Don't give power to the fear. Instead, simply say aloud, I am afraid. Allow yourself to pass through the fear. Whenever I face my fear in this way, I pass right through it. It's only fear. It has no power other than what I give it. We can calm the child within by putting our hands on our heart and the other on the solar plexus and talk to the child from the place of the loving mother, father. Say to the child, I love you. Let the child know it's okay. Everything is okay. You're going to be okay. The mantra to repeat in spiritual practice is, everything is exactly as it should be. Everything is exactly as it should be. It is okay that you are afraid. It is okay that you feel alone. There's no need to distract yourself from these feelings. The gift in this moment is that you have these feelings. As you accept and allow these feelings, you can surrender, and the blocks of the ego can begin to dissolve. This allows you to move upward to a new level of awareness. As much as I love my alone time, I can often resist being alone. I often see being alone as a failure to hold on to my relationships, and it can feel like relationship failure. But I am reminded that our relationships are here to facilitate our growth. Sometimes our greatest challenges in relationships is not in the holding on, but in the letting go. Leaving and letting go of our relationships when they've outgrown their positive influence in our lives is most often the kindest thing we can do for ourselves. In our letting go, we also meet our fears of abandonment, rejection, worthlessness, and fears of being alone, isolated, and cut off from love. Yet it is here we make friends with our fears to a point where they cease to have power over us any longer. If we don't embrace this opportunity, life will bring us another chance, and then another, and another. If we embrace the challenge and release our resistance to what we fear, we break through our fears and find the gift. Inner peace. Inner peace. More than we seek unity with others, we seek peace within ourselves. It is only when we access that peace within ourselves that we can truly find unity with others. And so you see, the spiritual opportunity in your aloneness is nothing less than the cultivating of inner peace. Inner peace comes from that place of self-love, self-acceptance, and self-knowledge. This is the road to awakening to your true divine self. So embrace your loneliness. Embrace your aloneness. Embrace yourself in the darkness, in the silence of your own being. This is your pathway to wholeness. Becoming whole is the goal. It is the only goal that is truly fulfilling. It is worth the journey. It is worth every ounce of pain you have ever felt or will feel. Becoming whole is about embracing your pain rather than avoiding it. A whole person is in touch with all of his feelings or her feelings, not just the ones we label as positive. There are no positive or negative feelings. All feelings are welcome here. Embrace each and every feeling that arises. Be willing to allow your feelings to be there. And as your feelings move into those empty places within you, you slowly begin to come back to life. Thank you for listening. And you can find out more about me and my work by visiting my websites, narcissismfree.com and pathbacktoself.com. My book that came out in ebook form, Healing Narcissistic Abuse and Finding the True Self, is now coming out in print. It will be available in print shortly, so be sure to be signed up for my newsletter at narcissismfree.com, and you'll get the announcement when that book is available. So thank you again for listening, and we will see you next time. Have a great day.